are continuing on the series, Thank You, Holy Spirit. We'll be taking part 5 today. We have taken parts 1 to 4 in the Sundays and Tuesdays of this month. And we used as our main text the scripture when the church, the early church, had an issue they wanted to clarify. They had no clue what to do. It was a new church, and some people were saying non-Jews should be circumcised. And so they sent from the church in Antioch Paul and Barnabas to the apostles, and they waited on the Lord and then came to a conclusion. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 28, they said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Acts 15, 28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Which underscores the fact that the early church related with the Holy Spirit. They knew they could not do anything without the Holy Spirit. And in the previous parts, we have emphasized the fact that God in three persons, Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is in heaven, seated on his throne. His Son Jesus is sent to show us the way of salvation, was crucified, resurrected, and after 40 days ascended to heaven. And the Bible says Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. 10 days after the ascension on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was started manifesting. He came and people spoke in tongues for the first time, which stresses the fact that since that time up to now, the Holy Spirit is here on earth with us. God the Father is in heaven. God the Holy Spirit, God the Son is in heaven. God the Holy Spirit is with us here. And like we read in this John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go. People were worried that Jesus was going to die. He said, no. Yes, I will die, resurrect and go, but it will be to your advantage, because it is when I get to heaven that the Father will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Standby. And in the first session, I remember talking about Allos Parakletos, another Comforter, another of his kind. And so we went to the roles of the Holy Spirit. And we said it is PCC. First is power. And we examine the ways through which the Holy Spirit gives us power by granting us wisdom, boldness, ability in our secular work to know what to do and to do it excellently, successfully. Ability to prosper. Ability to confront and defeat opposition. You would always have opposition, but the Holy Spirit empowers you to subdue every opposition. The Holy Spirit grants you ability to identify and remove hindrances and overcome obstacles. The Holy Spirit helps us to start and to sustain relationships. And so, as we round off on power, we want to emphasize that also, the Holy Spirit grants us power in our spiritual lives and for ministry. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus, during the 40 days he was on earth, before he ascended, he told his disciples, tarry or stay or remain in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, he was telling them, I will soon leave you, but don't attempt to start to walk the walk of ministry until you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and is the one that helps in our spiritual lives. It gives us spiritual ability and it empowers us for ministry. Men and brethren, ministry work cannot be done by your conquerability. It's not how fluent you are, how the ability you have to make people laugh, or the ability to walk. Ministry comes through spiritual ability that the Holy Spirit provides. And a scripture that I just want to run through is Acts of the Apostles. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 4 to 11. It talks of spiritual gifts. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us as believers to empower us for the work of the ministry. And there are 9 spiritual gifts there that the Holy Spirit gives us to help us in our spiritual lives and to help us to work for God. So don't attempt to serve God or to work for God unless the Holy Spirit empowers you. And so the gifts are 9, divided into 3 groups. 3 gifts in each group. I will just run through and you can go and study at home. We have the revelation gifts that gives you supernatural ability to know things that you can't know ordinarily. Number 1 is word of knowledge. Number 2 is word of wisdom. And number 3 is discerning of spirits. Talking of spiritual gifts, the first category of spiritual gifts are revelation gifts that reveals to you what science cannot tell you, what human beings cannot tell you, what you cannot know by your intelligence. It comes by the Holy Spirit working through you to give you information supernaturally. I'll go over them again. Revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. The second category of gifts, they are vocal gifts. They give you utterance supernaturally. You are able to speak supernaturally. Number 1 is prophecy. Number 2 is different kinds of tongues. And number 3, interpretation of tongues. I'll go over this second category again. Prophecy, number 1. Number 2, different kinds of tongues. And number 3, interpretation of tongues. The third and last category of spiritual gifts are what are generally called power gifts. They give you ability to do. The first group gives you ability to know. The second group gives you ability to say. The third group gives you ability to do. Number 1, gifts of healings. Without medicine, without herbal, without natural, lay hands on people or pray for people and they are healed immediately. If you have received healing supernaturally before, can I see your hand up, please? Once in your lifetime, you have received healing supernaturally. Can I see your hand up, please? God bless you. So I have a witness. Gifts of healings. Number 2, working of miracles. Feeding 5,000 with 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. Or crossing the Red Sea. These are miracles that only the Holy Spirit can do. And number 3, faith. Faith is not the normal faith that everybody has. God has given some people special faith. And it is necessary for healings, for miracles. Those who have that ministry, usually faith helps them to believe. If I pray for somebody who has cancer, it will be healed. If I pray for somebody who has ulcer, it will be healed. So, because we have other things we want to say, we will not be concentrating on this. And we'll move on right away. And so, like we said, we have taken permission up front that the service will not end on time, will be slightly late like we were last week. Please pardon us. So I said the roles of the Holy Spirit can be described in the with the acronym PCC. Can we say PCC? Okay, the first one is power, which we have just concluded. We go to the second, which is communication. Communication. So we'll do a test now. I know I may not see your mouth in the face mask. Now let us share the grace. Are we ready? Your mouth will be moving, otherwise you'll come here to share it. Let us share the grace. 2, go.
Amen.
Actually, there's no sweet there, although the Holy Spirit is sweet. But we usually put sweet. Sweet Holy Spirit. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Paul ending his second epistle to the church at Corinth established a principle concerning the Trinity, Godhead. God, Jesus, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As believers, what we enjoy is grace that Jesus bought for us by dying. So you and I, who are sinners, are now free from the guilt of sin. And we accessed that because God the Father loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the third, the love of God brings us grace for salvation, but the communion of the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, makes us to live in the reality of God's love and Jesus Christ's grace. We're able to download, we're able to benefit from, we're able to enjoy the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through our communion with the Holy Spirit. I said in the first part that at the risk of being misunderstood, any Christian who does not relate with the Holy Spirit as he ought to is likely to live a suboptimal Christian life. He'll be a Christian. He'll get to heaven. But many things he's supposed to accomplish here on earth, he will not be able to. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe I've given it before. You have just moved into a new house. Beautiful. And you said, this house, as beautiful as it is, has no electricity. So, first day you dwell in darkness. Second day you dwell in darkness. 1 week you dwell in darkness. And sometimes later somebody comes and says, there's electricity in this house. This is the switch. Just put it on. Then you have electricity. Okay, promise me you won't laugh. Do you promise you won't laugh? Prof, do you promise you won't laugh? Do you promise? You are not promising. Do you promise you won't laugh, Sister Olawumi? About 10 years ago, we were on holiday in UK and were staying with the family. And they went out and were alone at home. And then light went. I said to my wife, has NEPA come to UK now? Light just went in the house. So we called our host. And he said, Pastor, sorry. Go to the boiler room. When you enter on the left, there's a switch. Something there. Just put it on. And we put it on, and light came. I could have remained in darkness if I didn't seek help. I would have been in that house. We would have been in that house without electricity. Same is somebody who is born again. Is in Christ. But the benefit of being born again, he may not be able to enjoy because he doesn't know there is Holy Spirit. And if he knows, he doesn't know how to relate with the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with you all. The word translated communion there is koinonia. Some translations, they use the word fellowship, but I think it is deeper than fellowship. Let me define what communion is. Communion, a close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. A close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. Underline three sets of words. One, close relationship. Can we say close relationship? So communion is just not relationship. There are some people that I may not have close relationship with because we just see in church once a week. But there are some people who, when I do like this, it's, what are you thinking? Why? Because they have a close relationship with me. And then underline feelings and thoughts. Because of the close relationship, you know the feelings, you know the thoughts. And last that I want you to underline is exchanged. There is an interplay. There is a communication of feelings and thoughts with the person with which you have communion. So it's not just fellowship. You can be in fellowship and not be in fellowship. So what Paul was saying here is, you Christians in Corinth, as I end this letter to you, I want you to know that the love of God the Father brings to you the grace that Jesus Christ gave you by dying for you. Please continue to enjoy the love of God and that grace by communing, by being in close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Exchange feelings and thoughts. It means communication. Communication. Communion. You communicate. You speak to him. He speaks to you. That is the type of relationship that we are, you and I, are expected to have with the Holy Spirit, where we speak to him and he speaks to us. And so we communicate with God. So today we'll be speaking about we communicating with God. And on Tuesday in part six, we'll be speaking on the Holy Spirit communicating with us. So today we'll be speaking about we communicating with God. How do we communicate with God? Well, I want to examine three ways. One, in worship. Worship. And you will see that when the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, let's turn in our Bible to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And the people spoke in tongues for the first time. And so those who witnessed, people in town who witnessed the 120 speaking in tongues for the first time, they were now running a commentary. Verse 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. We see Cretans and Arabs. We heard them speaking in our own tongues. Can we complete it? We hear them speaking in our own tongues. Can we complete it? Is that in your Bible? The first day, the Holy Spirit came and people started to speak in the Spirit. They were not greeting one another. They were worshiping. Let me give you another example. Acts chapter 10. The day Peter ministered to Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Peter went to minister to a Gentile for the first time, and as he was speaking, I will read from verse 44. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, reading from verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit have been poured out on the Gentiles also. Let's read verse 46 together. Two, please read. For they help them speak with tongues and magnify God. We see two examples. People speaking in tongues for the first time. What were they doing? They were worshiping. So primarily, when we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the roles he helps us in communicating with God is to worship him. Don't forget, my brothers and sisters, man, you and I, we are a spirit. We have a soul. The soul comprises our mind, our will, and our emotion. And we dwell in a body. Dark, light, tall, short, robust, slim. And so normally when you want to speak to God, you choose your language. Father, thou art. Some people say, oh, Father, I, Reverend Doctor. You think of what you want to say before you speak. And so you engage your mind. You have to think, should I pray for my son, or my husband, or my daughter? Should I pray for my work? But when you pray in the spirit, you bypass your mind. Your spirit, as the Bible describes in Proverbs 20:27, that the spirit of man is the lamp of God, searching the inward parts of the belly. So, really, what I'm trying to emphasize, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we commune with God better with our spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Can you complete it? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you worship in the spirit, in the tongues, you bypass the limitation of your mind. So that's why the first time people ever spoke in tongues, they magnify God. The first time Gentiles spoke in tongues in the home of Cornelius, they were worshiping God. If you don't worship God in the spirit, you don't know what you are missing. It will be like you are in heaven on earth. Because you are not thinking, I don't have a job, it's not there. They have not paid my salary, it's not there. My visa has expired, I've not been able to go for interview, it's not there. You are free from worries of this world, from cares. And you can worship. Worship. You are able to speak from the abundance of your heart. How much you love the Father. How much he means to you. How he has kept you. How he has delivered you. How he has blessed us. And how he saved you. Communicating with God in worship. Second, communicating with God in prayer. Communicating with God in prayer. Many times we call speaking in tongues prayer language. Have you ever heard that? Do you have a prayer language? You see that if you are familiar with some people, when they are speaking in tongues, you know that's Damilola speaking in tongues. You know, that's this person speaking in tongues. That's their own personal prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that in addition to worship, adoring God, you can speak to God in prayer. That involves private prayer, personal prayer, telling him your concerns. That involves intercession. Standing in on behalf of other people you love or you are praying for, the church, our nation, our leaders, somebody who is ill, your friend. It also helps you in prayer of spiritual warfare. My dear brothers and sisters, it is when you pray in the spirit, that is pray in tongues. Like I said earlier, your spirit is free, has direct access to God. Your mind is not clogging it. Your troubles, your challenges, your fears, your worries, your plans, your ambitions are not clogging your heart. They are in your mind. And so you're able to speak to God, and God is able to speak to you. Let me correct myself. You are able to hear God speak to you. God was speaking before, but you can't hear because you are full of your needs. Ah, Lord, alarm will blow. If you don't do this thing today, alarm will blow. You can't hear God because you are so worried. You are so overwhelmed with challenges and problems. But when you pray in the spirit, you are able to speak to God and you hear him give you direction. On Tuesday, please tune in online and you will hear how the Holy Spirit speaks back to us. But today we are talking about we speaking to God in prayer. Prayer is not a monologue. Hello. It is a dialogue. Communion. Exchanging feelings and thoughts. I know what you feel. You know what I feel. I know what you are thinking. You know what I'm thinking. That's communion. When you commune, you speak to God. He speaks to you. And that happens in private prayer, in intercession, and in spiritual warfare. About 4 years ago, we had a practice where we were encouraged to pray 1 hour in tongues a day. How many people still do that? If you still pray 1 hour in tongues, can I see your hand up? By the grace of God, I've been doing that every day for over 25 years. For about 30 years. I don't do it every day, but almost every day. When work is too much and I don't have enough time, I may not do it. Otherwise, how do you pray for every responsibility you have? Are you so intelligent to remember everything? Private prayer. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. We know not how to pray as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses, our infirmities, with groanings that cannot be uttered in human speech. Romans 8:26. Are you there? Let's read it together. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. You can read from the screen or anywhere. Are we there? Romans. Is it in your Bible? Can you? Oh, we can't help ourselves. Romans 8:26. Two. Let's read. When you pray in tongues, the mistake you and I make is to think we know what to pray for. I've been a Christian for 15 years. Maybe I just get to the prayer closet. I worship for 10 minutes. I thank God for 5 minutes. You have your formula. That scripture is telling you, you don't know what, two things you don't know. Two things. One, you don't know what to pray for. Number two, you don't know how to pray. Should you pray for mercy? Should you pray for direction? Should you pray for guidance? Should you bind the enemy? You don't know. But when you switch to the Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps your own spirit to pray with groanings that words cannot explain. Another translation says that they are too deep for utterance. You don't know. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you have been missing now if you don't pray in tongues? You just think, I do 5 minutes, pray for my husband for 5 minutes, pray for my children for 5 minutes, pray for my work for 5 minutes.
That's your formula. Very good. But it gets to a time, the Holy Spirit will just wake you up. You don't know what you are praying for. And you start to pray. Has it ever happened to you before that you just burst out in tongues without planning it? If you have happened to you before, I've witnessed some people. Okay, accident wants to happen. You see, at that time you can't think. You see a car, a trailer coming, and you just burst in because you are a spirit. Your spirit is now communing with God. We don't know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself helps our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our infirmities by helping us to pray with groanings that are too deep to be uttered with your English or Igbo or French or Italian language. So, let's have that habit of praying in tongues. If possible, every day. I'm not discountenancing the need to pray in understanding, but let us have the habit of praying in tongues. You'll have a more effective prayer life for your private prayer, for intercession. This year, somebody that we know, who is an Indian, said in the U.S., one day, God, and she was married. She just woke up in the night. God said, start to pray for your grandpa now. She's about 30, thereabout. And she started praying, agonizing and praying. She has not heard from home maybe for days. Later during the day, she phoned. And the mommy said, thank God, your grandpa almost died. At the time she was praying, the grandpa was being operated. His heart was being operated. Suddenly, he had to be rushed to the theater to operate his heart. The grandpa, very old, is still alive today. Because the granddaughter, who was a Christian in another continent, was woken up, start to intercede for your grandpa now. I spoke to grandpa last month. Nothing is wrong with grandpa now. But she started praying. She didn't know what she was praying for. Le Kambos Keteria, Barabasontoka Yalabaha. Worrying in the spirit for grandpa 10,000 kilometers away. Okay. Parents who are here, whose children are no longer at home, do you know exactly where your child is now? Do you know what is happening to your child right now? Or your husband, or your wife, or your dear one? But when you enter the closet, if there's need to pray, the Holy Spirit will start to pray through you. Lakabo Shantalaba, Sapraliboko Santaya. Especially in warfare. You can't do warfare by saying, Spirit, I bind you. Before Jesus would bind openly, he has word. That's why he went to Lazarus' tomb and said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. Because he had word in the spirit, in the closet. So, spiritual warfare, because you don't know the enemy you are grappling with. You don't know their plans. You don't know their wiles. You don't know. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, many times now as you develop that habit of praying in the Holy Spirit, God will take you from your closet. You'll be in the enemy's territory. Has anybody seen that before? That you just see yourself in the midst of the coven of the enemies, warring. Maybe those who have the gift of word of knowledge and all that. You just see yourself where they are meeting, Lekabaha, controlling, commanding fire. The Bible says, surely they will gather. But because their gathering is not unto me, they will fall for my sake. Lekapa, Suntori, Alabaha. That person that has bound the person that is sick. You are praying. Many years ago, maybe about 27 years ago, we had prayed our family prayer and we went to sleep. It's not time to pray yet. And the Holy Spirit woke me up to just leave the room many years ago now, maybe 1993, to go into the closet to start to pray. And I started praying. Coming back to the room, I saw my wife was awake. What happened? He said, as I had a dream, the enemy was trying to attack me. God had gone ahead. You go and pray. He said, before you pray, I will answer. He knows the plans of the enemy you do not know. Let us be men and women of the spirit, not just men and women of the flesh. Take pounded yam and fried rice and just think that is life. Let us be men and women of the spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to help us. He's our helper, our comforter, allos paracletos. So we communicate with him, one, in worship, two, in prayer, that is private prayer, intercession, and in spiritual warfare. And thirdly, as we end, we communicate with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you here? You don't just talk to the Holy Spirit when you are in your closet. You don't just draw a timetable. I will see you, Holy Spirit, at 9 o'clock before I go to bed. Or I will see you, Holy Spirit, at 5 a.m. when I wake up. The third one I want to talk about is conversation with the Holy Spirit. Not just worship, not just prayer, conversing. Don't forget, we said communion is a close relationship with someone, where feelings and thoughts are exchanged. Those who are married and who live with their spouses, you don't wait for any time to talk to your wife or your husband. Darling, if you see what has just happened, anything happened, you just want to tell him, you want to tell her immediately. Conversation. Communion. Fellowship. We can converse with the Holy Spirit. We can talk with the Holy Spirit anytime. Anywhere. On anything. No holds bad discussion. Don't forget, close relationship with someone with which your feelings and thoughts are exchanged. No limit to what you can say. Tell him how you feel. Tell him your joy. Tell him your fears. Many times when I'm in God's presence, I tell him, if nobody knows, you know what I'm thinking. So I can't hide. You know I don't like this situation. Lord, you know, I'm dissatisfied with what is happening. If I don't tell anybody, you know my heart. So, but I just want to tell you formally. So you commune in with him anytime, anywhere, on anything. Especially asking him questions. That's something that if the Lord will help you to get, your life will change. Knowing that God the Father is in heaven, God the Son is on the throne at the right, but the Holy Spirit is here. Ask him questions. The Bible describes him as omniscient, all-knowing. There's nothing he does not know. And it is when you ask questions that he will talk. If you are always talking, he will keep quiet. Very polite. He doesn't want to disturb you if you like to talk. But when you ask questions and you keep quiet, Lord, the way I started was when I used to go to Lagos every week and I would be leaving Victoria Land around 4 or 5 to come to Ibadan. And I said, Holy Spirit, which route should I take? One day, of course, Third Mainland Bridge was new then. Less than 5 years it was started. So it was the choice route. God said to me, no, take another bridge, the Kata Bridge. And I said, okay, 5 o'clock closing time. And I said, okay, I obeyed. Victoria Island, I maneuvered my way. Instead of going to Third Mainland Bridge, I took the other bridge. I got there. There was go slow for about 30 minutes. And then we were free. Those who took Third Mainland Bridge, some people slept there that night. I'm talking of 1980s, maybe 89 or thereabout. Holy Spirit, which route should I take? This assignment they have just given me in the office, Holy Spirit, I confess, I don't have knowledge. How do I go about it? I've just been appointed to this position. What do I do? You see, this case of my son always getting sick, What is causing this incessant sickness? We have been to the hospital many times. Holy Spirit, what is happening? Ask him questions. And on Tuesday, we'll be talking to you on how he will answer. But we must have the habit of asking questions. And also have the habit of not only just talking to him, of adoring him. Because he is your standby, he is your companion. Oh, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I've woken up this morning safely. See my body. Last night when I was going to sleep, I was very tired. But thank you, dear Lord, I'm okay this morning. Oh, I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You have just gotten back from work. As you enter your house, thank you, Holy Spirit. Many of you have heard me say this before, that when I started doing this, when I drive myself, are you here? I'm not praising myself. I'm just telling you what the Lord has taught me. When I drive myself, I don't put anything on the passenger seat. No briefcase, no diary, nothing. If somebody is with no problem. But if I'm alone, driving, because I say, Holy Spirit, we are going to Akobo together. And as I'm in the car, sometimes the Holy Spirit, I feel like putting off the sound. I don't want to hear sound. I just want to hear you. Communing. Close relationship with someone with which you have, with which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. Can we say, thank you, Holy Spirit?
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. I die.
Rabba le brahma hason taya rabba han taya rabba bande. Aye rama yire meni amasutoya. Erama yire meli ebahanda. Ingleri momo suri erabande. Aye riman daraba aye reba. In glory mosuto yaraba sentaya. Ayeri masuta yere amande. Inembro mayika uraba hande. Ayeye manda robobo sori arababaya. Engraliye bosoria.
If you can't pray in tongues, can you just ask, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit where you are? And then open your mouth, you start to speak in tongues. If you have never spoken in tongues, just ask, dear Holy Spirit, baptize me with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And where you are, you start to speak in tongues.
La yera balim baraba hata yendaraba erebo hoseria. Embra mama shito rabahande yironini masuria. Imbro mayera ni yete mosoria. Malalolo narabaya. Yokuraba daraba yiraba. Engro lobo sutoria rabahandaya. Jeli ke likato robo sitaya, angora moshili yerienda, kuraba yeribo soria bahantaria bah, engoro bora bara bara bah, ebrama mama shitoria rabande, anga yeribo surie rabande. Mayera balaba sotora babaya. Engrolo bobo shita yara babaya.
Yes, you have tummy. You have problem with your tummy. The Holy Spirit is touching you with the healing virtues of the Lord Jesus now. Yes, you have healing. You have problem with your tummy. Just put your hand there now. The Holy Spirit is touching you with the healing virtues of the Lord Jesus. He's healing your tummy, whatever may be wrong. Inside, whatever may be wrong. The Lord is touching you right now. The left wrist. Whatever is wrong with that left wrist, the Lord is touching you now. The Lord is healing you now. The Lord is healing you now. Ekloro santa yaraba. Shanta bokoria de bost. Rabos seprehantalia. Help of the helpless. Lekeke liboho shataya. Help of the helpless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are about taking a decision. Some time ago, you knew what you should do. But in recent times, other options have been coming. And you are confused. You are coming. You came to church. You don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit is already directing you now. Just listen to the Holy Spirit as it directs you. Do not move to the left. Do not move to the right. The Holy Spirit is directing you, asking you, telling you what to do. Just follow His leading. We give you praise. We give you glory. Let's round off our prayers now. Father, we thank you for revealing through your Holy Spirit who you are to us afresh and anew today. Oh, Holy Spirit, please. We want to have a close relationship with you. We want to have communion with you, where our feelings and our thoughts we can exchange. where we can speak to you and we can hear you speak back to us. Holy Spirit, please let nothing clog our communication. Please help us. Be our helper, be our comforter. Please do not leave us. As we go this week, please go with us. Go ahead of us. Comfort us, strengthen us, direct and guide us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. God bless you.